Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Baker Street Pub and Grill in Sugarland. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. AJ's out here with us. I'm staring down AJ like he's Johnny Chan. And then Brian's behind the glass. Brian's not here with us.
He's not.
There's not enough salad for Brian to be here with us.
He wouldn't have had to eat a salad today, it didn't look like.
What's that?
I know, DJ did get a salad. Never mind.
DJ did?
Yeah.
DJ uses more napkins than anybody on this planet.
It's absurd.
It's insane. How many napkins he uses.
Yeah, I don't understand why.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe he thinks it's like a one wipe rule.
Oh, it's like one napkin per use?
He's like, oop, there you go, used it. Need a new napkin. It's brutal. He has zero respect for napkins.
No, he has no respect for napkins. It's another situation. Like, it's not as bad as East River 9.
No, well, no, it wasn't as bad.
Because East River 9 was...
East River 9 was a beast.
I mean, it looked like he cleared out the whole restaurant.
I know.
Like, there was, it looked like there was nothing left.
I felt bad for anybody else who needed napkins the rest of the day.
We needed some. We couldn't get any.
Never got any.
Yeah.
It's crazy. All right, lots to get to. We are broadcasting live, if you didn't hear, from Baker Street Pub out in the City Walk in Sugar Land, where everybody's here to watch the English play soccer. They're playing Ghana.
They are.
It's a big match in this group. Both of these two nations are 1-0 in their group. So the winner of this probably will win their group. So we're monitoring it. We do have two sweats on this game. We bet a half a unit. Actually, we bet 0.55 of a unit to win half of a unit on Ghana +2. And we're also on half a unit to win 0.62 and a half of a unit on Ghana to score a goal.
Okay.
And we're also on the Astros under 8.5 runs. Not the Astros in totality. The Astros and the Blue Jays.
Yes, yes, yes.
Under 8.5 at -105. We won our match yesterday. It just took forever to figure it out.
It did.
But the French did win.
They were in a lengthy delay yesterday, but we got the W.
We got the W.
That's all that matters.
Astros are playing at 4:07 Canadian time today. Did you see that?
Yeah, I don't know why.
It's weird. Well, I think it's for the World Cup.
Oh, there must be a big game tonight?
I think there's a match in Toronto.
That makes sense. I thought maybe it was Canada Day or whatever. That's July 1st, though.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
I could not have told you the date of Canada Day.
I looked it up.
Is that the only day where they wear their red uniforms?
I think so.
That's pretty cool.
I think the Astros played them on it once.
Did they?
I think maybe it might have been last season, honestly, where Toronto wore the all red.
As long as you're honest about it.
But, yeah, so it's weird. Like, night game, day game, night game. It's the exact opposite of how baseball is.
I know. I knew
they
played a day game in the series, and I just assumed it was tomorrow on getaway day. So I was like, oh, okay. And then I saw somewhere at the time, I'm like, is this right? Am I looking at the wrong day? And then I read up on it, and they said that they moved it up because of the World Cup.
That makes sense. There must be a massive match tonight.
Maybe not a massive match, but just a match. There was a match earlier in Houston, and Ronaldo scored he had a brace. Did he have a brace or a hat trick? Yeah, he had a brace.
Brace.
Yeah, they killed Uzbekistan.
Did you see his parlays yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, man, we missed out.
That one guy did it twice.
Yeah, it was 2+ goals.
Yeah, a brace,
for,
at least a brace.
A brace for Mbappe, Messi, and Haaland.
Who's not from Holland. No.
But it hit twice.
That's crazy.
And they were both like, the first one was like +13,000 the first day of the World Cup that they did it on. So then they dropped it to like +8,000, and it hit again. Like, oh, man.
Yeah. And
I saw one person, they went with Ronaldo, too.
Today they threw it in there?
No, yeah, so they had a 4-person parlay.
He's been in a scoring drought, too.
So it's a bold move, and they hit that, too.
I feel like it was not a bold move, though. Like, I felt like this was the day against Uzbekistan that he was going to just go off.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they did. They went off.
Yeah, I live bet the 4.5 over.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought, what a weird bet by you.
It was 2-0.
You turned into a degenerate.
Yep. It was 2-0 in the first 25 minutes, and I was like, I think they can get 5 goals in this game.
You're right.
And they did.
You're right about that. So plenty to get to today. We'll talk about the Astros in Toronto, game 2 of that series, whenever they're done. But we'll talk about game 1 yesterday, Joe. I don't know how you felt, but I felt like it was a winnable game that they lost.
Yes.
Like, there was opportunities to win the games. You know, early against Dylan Cease, late against the bullpen, couldn't really capitalize. It was also a game, though, where, like, the Jays could have won by 8 runs.
At least.
Because they had, like, the bases loaded, no outs, one out, like, on 3 different occasions.
Yeah.
And, like, could only muster a run each time. But it's one of those games where it's like, man, you know, the Astros had an opportunity here, didn't seize the opportunity. And for a team who started in such a hole – and is chasing. Yes, they're chasing the fight. But they're like, you know, there's so many teams in the mix, and then last year missing the playoffs by a game. It's like, son of a gun, how many times are the Astros going to lose a game that they shouldn't be losing?
Yeah, I think yesterday is like a great example of just like the Astros season.
Yeah.
Like you're two games back of the Blue Jays for the final wild card spot in yesterday's game. If you win that game, you're now one game out of Toronto, at least, and there's other teams in front of you still. You can just work on closing that gap. You have all these opportunities to do it. Your starting pitcher is not very good. Your bullpen looks like it's going to be a disaster, but as you said, keeps finding a way to escape these massive innings from the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
And you just can't take advantage. You can't take advantage of the Blue Jays failing and because you're failing on top of it. So it's just it's a disappointing loss when they had it right there for the taking. And so at the same time, could have been a lot worse.
Could have been a lot worse. A lot of games like this for the Astros. The situational hitting, if you like situational hitting, this wouldn't have been a game that you liked for the Astros.
Nope.
Three different instances that I wrote down, at least. Top of the first inning, bases loaded, one out. Yiner Diaz does his little 1-0 rollover to short.
Yep.
Like, dude, it's a 1-0 count. Like, why are you rolling over on an outside pitch? Don't like go the other way. Just don't swing at that, right? Like, if that's not your pitch, take it. Ball and a strike. But Yiner Diaz, who leads the world in inning-ending double plays, I just made up that stat. Might be true, might not. You can fact check me if you want. Certainly feels that way. Ends the first inning. When you hit Cease right there on the ropes, you know?
Yeah.
Like you have one of the best pitchers in baseball on the ropes. Top of the eighth inning, first and second, nobody out. Christian Walker hits a weak ground ball to second base. Cool job, C-Walk. And then the top of the ninth, like Yiner Diaz of all people, draws a leadoff walk. Yay, Yiner. Bring the tying run to the plate. And then Joey Loperfido with a meek double play the very next at bat. It kills all momentum. So situational hitting, just like momentum swinging opportunities, did not go the Astros' way yesterday.
No, and that's where I think with Walker is the biggest bummer of them all. Like Loperfido, like I don't know, like it is what it is.
He just sucks.
He just, yeah, I don't think he's very good. I think the guy that they, who was playing in, what, left field yesterday for the Blue Jays is the guy, frankly, that
Jesus
you should
Sanchez?
Want. Yeah. Is the guy you should want on this team. Not Joey Loperfido. Yiner, not shocking. It's why I want Christian Vasquez still playing every single day.
Meh.
Like, I don't think it's that much better, but, like, I don't feel, can't prove this with stats, I don't feel like he chases on an outside pitch and rolls over into a lazy double play as often as Yiner Diaz does.
Probably fair.
Like, it feels like it at least leaves the infield. Might be a lazy pop-up.
Or a strikeout.
Or a strikeout.
Yiner should just bet ninth.
Cool.
Just bet him ninth.
That's what Vasquez was doing. Why can't Yiner do that?
Just bet him ninth.
Because I think they have higher expectations for him still for whatever reason.
Well,
and he's going to come
we
through
know the reasons.
Moments. He's not good. He's not good.
He was. I know he's not good anymore, but he has been good.
Yeah, this season's been atrocious.
He's been a disaster.
For him. He also had what I think it was a run at second base, and Altuve had a ground out where he swung out a pitch like way outside the strike zone.
Yeah, but the there was, well, I think there was two outs there.
Yeah, and he came through earlier in the game, so it's hard to crush him for that.
Yeah.
At the same time. But
you can throw that in there.
But there's plenty of opportunities for the Astros to score yesterday. And they just didn't do enough.
I pulled up Christian Walker's slash stats this month. They're atrocious. So it's like one of those, hey, maybe sell guys whenever their value's high. He had a bad game yesterday. First and second, no outs in the first inning, strikes out. Second at bat, strikes out. Hunter Brown was not his best yesterday. He said he left the game after three.
Yeah.
Left the game after three. Pitch count was high. I actually thought he did a good job of battling through three despite having nothing in the tank.
Yeah.
Like having none of his stuff. I thought it was actually a pretty gutsy effort. Certainly hate that you leave the game after three. But he said after the game as a starting pitcher, you typically have four or five pitches so you can navigate it any given night. Maybe three of those five are working or even two. Tonight I had zero. It's just one of those games where I just had really poor command control, just really couldn't figure it out, did the best I could, and it was just not a good night. That came from Kawahara's article today. That sums it up. But I credit Hunter Brown for like not having any of his stuff and still gutting through three innings of one-run baseball.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys in a night like that, okay, you're out of – he might not make it out of the first.
No, if you would have told me just like Hunter Brown pitches three innings – that's all the information I had. I would say, well, he either got hurt or he gave up at least six runs.
Yeah.
So the fact that he was able to be that poor to his standard or to really any standard and be able to escape that with only allowing one earned run, did he set his team up for major success? No, but it could have been a lot worse. And the bullpen, for the most part, did its job.
they were still in the game when he left it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of guys have zero of their pitches working. The game's over when they leave it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it wasn't Hunter Brown's – it wasn't a good performance. It was a bad performance, not his best, all of that stuff. But I do admire that a night where he had none of it, he still kind of kept you in the game. Jeremy Pena got hurt, left the game, said it was a cramp in his hamstring.
Okay.
Good news, it was just a cramp. Pena said after the game, doesn't think it's serious. They were just being, like, proactive and careful and precautionary. They said he went through a full workout today and, like, could be available off the bench. So I guess that's good.
But he's not playing today.
No, he's not in the lineup today.
So that's one where I hate to be too much of a pessimist.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
I'll believe it tomorrow when he's in the lineup.
Sure.
Like, I just, you know, I cramp sounds not bad, but with his history this season
same
already.
Same hamstring, too.
Yeah, like, I'll believe it when I see it that he's back tomorrow and healthy and good to go. And
like
then doesn't get hurt again.
I like to err on the side of caution, with injury, especially, like, you know, soft tissue injuries. I would have put him on the IL immediately.
Just 10-day it, be safe.
And look, are there going to be instances wherever a guy could be back after 4 days and you're missing six games, five games? Yeah. But I'd rather err on that side than err on the, okay, where he's going to sit out three games, but then we're going to rush him back for that fourth and fifth game, and then all of a sudden you re-aggravate it.
Yeah.
So I'd rather err on the side of caution. It's June 23rd. I understand the Astros are in a hole. They're playing catch-up and all of that, but it is June 23rd.
Yep.
But, you know, maybe it is actually very, very minor, and, you know, he'll be back tomorrow. We'll see.
Yeah, just I'm with you. It's just be precautious, because what if it gets worse? Like, what if he comes back and he does aggravate it? Then what you're suggesting, a 10-day stint potentially, could turn into a month without Jeremy Pena. Then there's definitely no conversations about trading him at the deadline, if you even wanted to, which I know we'll get to probably at some point today. But it just completely, then it hurts your team now. If you wanted to move him, just be safe with it. Like, there's no reason for him to play today, so I'm glad he's not in the lineup. Even if he did feel good, he shouldn't have played in today's game.
They should have traded Seawalk while he was slugging, or his OPS was over 1,000, and they should have traded Pena before he got hurt. I'm in a hindsight 2020 mood today.
Really?
Maybe it's the Astros' lack of situational hitting that's made me grumpy today. I'm a little grumpy today. A little grumpy.
Well, hopefully we'll get a sweat of the day W, and that'll make your – it'll lift you.
I'm trying – I don't understand. Like, sometimes – like, I don't know how you would describe it. Some people – like, oh, you're bipolar. Oh, you're just, you know, grumpy at times. I'm in a grumpy mood today. I don't. Oh, this is Brian's cue. I don't really know why. Why are you laughing, AJ? You don't even know what's going on. You sound yeah, but you don't know why we're laughing. AJ doesn't have headphones on and he's laughing.
No, I made a mistake.
What? Oh, it's your fault?
Yeah,
my bad, AJ. I sincerely apologize on my behalf.
Yeah, I made a mistake.
I didn't realize it was Joe's fault.
Yeah, I forgot the adapter in the other bag,
so he can't listen.
No.
Oh, because BMAC hit a sounder. Right when you started laughing. And I was like, why are you laughing? You don't even know what's going on. But it was Joe's fault.
It's my fault. Hand up.
Yeah, sometimes I'm a little grumpy. I think it's the Astros situational hitting.
Hey, baby steps. Right there.
Esoc steps?
Esoc steps.
Did you see what Walker did? I think that's what made me grumpy, actually.
I didn't see what Walker did.
Struck out the runner third. Oh, okay. I think that's why I instantly got grumpy.
Because it was just like you saw it again. I don't think
I was grumpy at the start of the show.
No, and you're just like, this bum.
Yeah.
Again, should have traded him.
I think I was grumpy. Christian Walker's at bat. Am I too emotional?
No. No.
All right, thank you. That makes me. Thank you for the Masters music, Brian. I appreciate it. Now, Joe saying no, Brian playing the Masters music, he saw it coming through in the clutch. I found my smile.
Spirits lifted.
I found my smile. We'll get back to the Astros whenever their game goes final today, because all of you that want to watch or listen to the Astros are probably doing that, not listening to us. So we'll talk other things. Like NBA. A lot going on in the NBA yesterday.
A lot going on.
Giannis has a new team. He's taking his talents to South Beach, guys. He's taking his talents to South Beach. You could quell all the other offers. Giannis is going to Miami, folks. There were some other moves, too, like Julius Randle has a new team. That actually has some low-key impact to the Rockets. Actually,
it does.
Some coaching news, NBA draft tonight. We'll get to that a little bit later on as well. Cash them or trash them with Jeremy or Joe. Jeremy and Joe, both of us are here. We'll do a bunch of different stuff today. We are watching some football, too. Scoreless as they play into the 17th minute. Where's this match at? Do we know?
Boston.
It's in Boston.
Oh, boy. The English are in Boston?
You know, if they lose this, they're going to throw tea into the bay.
They are. There might not be any beer left for them at this point. I read the Scottish drink
Boston
dry.
You know what they drink up there?
Tea.
Sam Adams.
Yeah, I know. I suppose I can say it.
713-780-3776.
Why'd this game have to be in Boston?
It's bad luck by you.
Yeah. I know it is.
Yeah, if it was in Philly, I would have went with Yingling. What would you go with if it was in California?
That's a good question.
Like, what is California's beer of choice? Pacifico, maybe?
Yeah. Maybe like a...
It's on the Pacific Coast.
Maybe like a Landshark.
Oh.
A little summer beer all the time.
What would it be if it was in Chicago?
PBR.
They have Goose Island's brewed there.
Goose Island, yeah. Yeah.
Goose Island's brewed there. You know how I learned that? Whenever I went on the river tour.
It's a great tour.
They went right by Goose Island.
Yeah.
Yeah. They like, hey, it's Goose Island. I was like, oh, okay. All right, 713-780-3776. If you're in the area, swing on by. Come hang out with us. We are live at Baker Street Pub in Sugar Land. Good old times. Everybody's got their England kits on. Don't let them know we're on Ghana Plus 2, all right? They'll kill us. They'll do bad things to us. All right, 713-780-3776. You can watch along on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, YouTube, ESPN Houston, TikTok, ESPN975, Twitter, ESPN975, Joe's at Joe George Radio, Brian's at SAC by BMAC, I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is Jeremy and Joe on ESPN975. You know what also gets me out of a bad mood? Thinking about the time I have at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Also just going to Two Creeks Crossing Resort, which you should do. Book your stay now, twocreekscrossingresort.com. It's going to make you find your smile. It's going to let you leave your troubles behind. It's going to cure your grumpiness, too. That's how great Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston is. I don't know if it's the open green spaces. I don't know if it's the beautiful, majestic trees. I don't know if it's some of the best fishing in Texas. I don't know if it's the hiking the 92 acres of property. I don't know if it's the kayaking. I don't know if it's playing the pickleball. I don't know if it's the Blue Bayou Bend, the new water park there at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. It has a lazy river. It's awesome. I don't know if it's swampers. I don't know if it's just hanging out by the pool. But whatever it is about Two Creeks Crossing Resort, it puts a smile on my face. Also, it's only 90 minutes from Houston. You're there in an hour and a half. You leave at 3. You turn us on. You're there before you know it. You can escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. You're not driving across multiple states. You're not jumping on a plane. You're there in an hour and a half. One major highway, and you're there. And they got all the stays for you, too. Glamping, that's all the rage these days. You do that out there at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. They got waterfront cabins right on the creek. They even have a tree house for you. You walk up the steps and you stay in a house that's perched in the tree. Or if you have an RV, guess what they have? They have RV hookup spots for you people with RVs. So go ahead, book your stay now. You're going to love your time out there. TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. That's TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com.
ESPN 97.5. Is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Baker Street Pub and Grill in Sugar Land. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Yeah, we are. Sugar Land, Baker Street Pub and Grill. We're efforting our first goal in the England-Ghana match as they play on in the 23rd minute. Junkie says it was Ronaldo Day in Houston. Yeah, he went nuts.
He did.
Hit a brace. The old man did it.
About time he scored.
Brace. Yeah.
That bum.
Yeah. You think he's the greatest ever.
Not anymore.
That bum.
You live in the moment too much, Joe.
No, I don't.
Live in the moment too much.
I do.
Lots going on in the NBA. Giannis traded to the Heat.
Yeah.
What'd you think of this trade, Joe? There was a lot going on. The Heat basically traded the half of their roster to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Like, I was looking at some of the analysis of this and like, oh, who won the trade? Milwaukee, Miami. I'm like, who's who? Like, Milwaukee's basically just Miami now.
I think that AJ the phone went out. I think Miami got a bad deal out of this. Just to be honest with you,
Miami.
I mean Milwaukee.
Yeah, Milwaukee. Like they still get a star at all.
What's the piece that you're excited about? Picks in the 2030s. Tyler Hero. Like,
Tyler Hero's all right.
Yeah, but you got to pay him now.
I have sports hate for Tyler Hero.
Yeah, like. I think it's – I get why they did it. They were kind of trapped between two teams and between Boston and Miami. So that limits you on what you can get. I don't really get the owner's, you know, stance that came out yesterday on, you know, well, I don't want to have Jaylen Brown and have to trade him. apparently. It was his reasoning.
Yeah, he was scared that they weren't going to play.
But, like, this guy is not – I mean, what is – like, why does Jimmy Haslam care? He traded Myles Garrett and Giannis Antetokounmpo in a month, like, as the owner of the Browns and the Bucks. What happens if he has to trade Jaylen Brown? And why – how did they not create a three-team trade?
Well, I guess he was worried about the return.
Yeah, I'm surprised they couldn't find a three-team trade to send Jaylen Brown to Houston or anywhere else.
Well, don't you
else.
Think they tried?
Maybe.
I mean, I have to assume that they tried.
Because I would. I'm.
If
kind
they didn't
of a,
try, that's incompetent.
I'm kind of feeling like, is Jaylen Brown still going to be in Boston next year?
Well, they say after, rumors are they're listening to offers today.
Like, I would assume they have to be because he's going to be. He already seemed like he wasn't loving what was going on there. Now he nearly gets traded to Milwaukee. It's going to make the situation even worse. So. I think Milwaukee, like, I guess they did the best they could when you're really only able to negotiate with two teams. It's one where it's just the unfortunate reality of you've got a guy whose contract is coming up. You can't really trade him to anywhere he doesn't want to go.
Yeah.
So you can't really get the maximized return because you waited too long to do it. And I get why they didn't want to do it, because the last time this organization in Milwaukee traded a superstar player, it was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And they didn't go back to the NBA Finals for 55 years, I think it was, or 50 years, something like that, until Giannis took him there. But they should have traded him sooner, I think, is the lesson in all of this. Like, this was inevitable, Giannis. It felt like this was happening for, like, 2 years. Like, they could have at least sent him somewhere to play for a season, last offseason, and then that team's problem would have been this year's Giannis offseason.
I think that they certainly were down to two teams because Giannis forced their hand, which is becoming really – that's something that happens in the NBA all the time.
All
now,
the time.
Unfortunately. But I think that they would have liked to trade him to Boston, but I think they were trying two things. I think they were trying to get a little bit more out of it. Brad Stevens drew his line in the sand, said this is it or else.
Yep.
Or you know, go make the trade with Miami. And then I think they were legitimately concerned about Brown. And they just didn't want to have to deal with it. And they felt like if he demanded a trade, now they're trading somebody else for pennies on the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I get it. I don't think that the two trade offers were much different at the end of the day. I do think that Brown would have been the best player in the pool, but they felt like they never were going to have Brown play for them. So, meh. I think they did all right.
Yeah.
I like future draft picks, though. Like, it doesn't feel like great in the moment, but then all of a sudden you get closer and closer to it, and you're like, oh, that might be a top 10 pick.
Well, and honestly, the organization that he's going to makes this, I feel, a little harder to predict because of what – now, Pat Riley might not be here by the time those picks come up.
Why not, Joe?
He's very old.
That's just, mean.
Sorry, I would say the same thing about Jerry Jones.
That's messed up, dude.
I'm just being honest.
You can't talk about death. You're like, oh, you're worried about the Heat. Pat Riley's going to die soon.
Okay, he might just not be involved That's in the organization up. Anymore at that point. I mean, he's only 81. But –
He's 81 years young. He looks great.
Giannis has been hurt a lot. So I guess there is a world in which Miami's terrible in 2031 and 2032.
That's a long time from now.
It is. So like
he might be on a different team by
exactly.
then.
Exactly. Like, is he going to be in the league? Is he going to be on a different team? Like, what is the situation in 5 years? So you're just now hoping, like, that's what you're betting on when you make this trade, is that in the future Giannis is not going to be there.
Yeah. A couple of other moves. Julius Randle's traded to the Nets. This is the Rockets part of this. Because the Rockets, of course, have the Nets' first-round draft pick unprotected next year.
Mm-hmm.
So that factors in. Although, I guess the sweet spot in the draft now is to, like, be the team just before the play-in.
Yeah.
So, like, it kind of helps them, I guess, or helps the Rockets, I guess, that they're getting slightly better. What I found funny, I had to reread this trade, like, 8 times. But the Wolves are trading Randle and the 28th pick in the draft for the 33rd pick in the draft.
Yeah.
And maybe I've just been living under a rock, but I thought Julius Randle was still a decent player. So I was like, wait a second. They're moving down despite including Julius Randle in this trade. And then, of course, you read a little bit more. It was a pure salary dump, so they could re-sign one of their own. But I was shocked. And maybe this is me just not paying attention to other NBA teams. I was shocked that you have to move down in the trade to clear Julius Randle's contract.
He's not a winning player, I think is the way I would describe
wow.
it.
Wow. I mean, he gets you 21-7 every night.
Yeah, he does.
Five assists. He passes the ball.
This is a team that, you know, they traded Cat. That didn't really work out for them. I don't think Randall's going to help them win. They go out and they spend their money right away with a quick follow-up. So, like, it's just a salary dump move. Like, they didn't really care.
No, they lost picks.
Yeah.
They lost draft capital because of it. They didn't lose picks, but they traded down 5 spots just to get them off the roster.
Yeah, I think that, like, this one's interesting just because with the Rockets implications, I think it does put them in that sweet spot, that 4-10 lottery odds position where it's all flat and the same odds. Like, I don't think the Nets are going to be a playoff team because of Julius Randle. he also might just be good enough to make sure they can't be a top three team.
Yeah.
Where it's going to increase the Rockets' chances to win the lottery next season. So I think this is a great thing for the Rockets.
It's a little bit riskier because they could be a playoff team in a weak Eastern Conference.
They could.
So like it's a little bit riskier, but maybe it's like it's worth the risk because the reward is so high. But an interesting trade there. You mentioned that they quickly then just turn around, use that money to re-sign. Was this the guy that you were saying the Rockets should trade for?
Yeah.
The Wolves love him.
Yeah, well, he scored 43 in a playoff game last year for him.
They
so.
Love him.
Yeah, 5 years, $112 million for Iota Sumo. That's a bigger contract than I thought it was going to be because I thought the Rockets could have got him this offseason. Nope.
That's a big deal.
Like, I'm guessing that means he's going to join their starting five.
Did you write this in the running? You got 5 years, $1,112 deal. IU signs 5 years, $1,112 deal with the Wolves.
I did write that. It's a lot of money.
He signs a 5 year, $1,112 deal with Minnesota. That's a lot of years, dude.
Yeah, my bad.
Pat Riley's not going to be around to see the end of that deal. Trey Young also 4 years, $212 million. He did the whole opt out, re-sign. He gets paid. I'm interested to see what Washington looks like this year. Like, very interested.
Yeah, it feels like Anthony Davis is still getting traded. Or they're going to try. So you've got Trey Young. You've got some young core pieces on that roster. You have
the number one pick of the draft.
Like,
I think they could, if they kept Davis and kept Trey Young, I think they could be a playoff team next
100%.
Year.
100%. They might not even have to be a play-in team in the East. Like, they could be a legit.
They could have home court advantage in the first round.
Yeah, they can be a legit playoff team next year. I don't think they're going to win anything.
No.
But, I mean, Trey Young's been to a conference finals, once in his career. So, I guess it's not totally impossible. But, I would say, what's wrong?
My mommy's wrist is killing me today.
Oh, I thought you were
I did something in my sleep, and it's been aching so badly today.
I was like, we have the under in this Astros game. That's a great moment.
I moved it funny.
It was just the time.
Stabbing pain.
It was just the timing of everything.
Actually, I celebrated the strikeout. I did fist bump, and I think that's what made it hurt.
It looked like you were saying, darn it.
Well, I did eventually. Okay. I went, yes, and then, oh.
Man down.
Killing me, man. It's killing me. You think, I forgot I was going to ask you because I got excruciating pain. Oh, well. 713-780-3776. Rocky says we need to trade into the first round for the Michigan center who can bang with Wimby. I don't think the Rockets can do that.
That's like he's being projected to go like 15th.
No. It depends on the projection. I've seen him as high as top 10.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe you could, but you'd have to give up a big asset for it, which I don't think I'm doing that right now for.
I'd rather do it for Kingston.
Yeah, that's fine.
Give me Kingston.
If you're trading into the top 10, that's cool with me. I think there's plenty of draft picks prospects in tonight's draft that I would be willing to trade to the top 10 for and give up a legitimate asset for it. Will they do that? I don't know. I mean, I think Atlanta's the team to target, frankly, because they're going to want to be good next year, and they have that bonus pick that they got from New Orleans for the terrible draft day trade from last year.
Thank you, Joe Dumars. Joe Dumars.
I don't think we're going to see a Rockets first-round pick tonight.
I don't either. They're being projected to take Emmanuel Sharp with their first pick in the second round, which would be awesome.
You'd love that.
Yeah, but they also never draft Cougars. So.
No, they don't, but maybe they learned their lesson.
Maybe they learned their lesson. All right, 713-780-3776. We'll talk more about the draft a little bit later. Brendan Sorsby, no supplemental draft this year in the NFL.
Nope.
Roger Goodell killed Sorsby. Sorsby's representation, they have fired back. What's going on with this whole thing? It is it's drama-filled. They should just put this on Bravo so we can all get entertained. 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe broadcasting live from Baker Street Pub on ESPN at 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Baker Street Pub and Grill in Sugar Land. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Ghana, England still 0-0 in the 37th minute. Baker Street Pub out in Sugar Land. City Walk. This is a great spot.
It is.
Great spot if you're getting off work looking for a place to watch your soccer. Great spot if, hey, you just want to have a drink after work. Great spot if you just want to have some food. They have phenomenal food here. Very good food. You had the fish and chips the last time?
Yep, I might do it again today.
There you go. You're watching your figure.
Yeah, it's also it's just good food.
Fish is very healthy.
Yeah, that's good.
You get your omega-3s.
Sure.
Yeah. Some people take fish oil for their omega-3s.
Do you do that?
I have.
Okay. I do not.
Haven't currently. I'm bad about taking my vitamins. I always forget to take my magnesium at night.
I don't do any of that stuff.
Yeah, you should think about it.
I probably should, yeah. To be honest, but I just
don't. I'm a little older than you. Not much older than you, though.
Nah, I mean, it just depends on how you look at it.
Well, I mean, usually when I'm looking at age, I look at age.
Well, I would say you're much older. I get why you would say you're not.
But, how old are you?
34.
Oh, yeah, I am much older than you. I got a half a decade on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would start paying attention to it, though. If I could give advice as a 40-year-old man to a 34-year-old man, I would say, yeah, pay attention to your health.
That makes sense. I probably should.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah. Well, you're doing it now.
Not really.
Okay.
I just told you I forgot to take them all.
Well, but you do them sometimes at least.
I take them like once every 5 days. Like, oh, yeah.
You're like Christian Walker.
And struggling.
Yeah, struggling.
One for five. Brendan Sorsby has been so apparently they're not going to have a supplemental draft.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I didn't realize they could do that. But, oh, no, we're good. We're not going to have a supplemental draft. So the NFL decided they're not going to have a supplemental draft this year. They decided to write a letter about Brendan Sorsby, which just blasts him, just crushes him. The Sorsby's attorney, though, says this goes against the NFL Players Association and that they intend to sue. Although Sorsby's not in the NFLPA, so, like, I don't know what his
stance is here.
Yeah, this is going to be it's going to be there's going to be lawyers. This is going to be a legal fight, and it is all very dramatic with a lot of theater involved.
Yeah, Andrew Brandt tweeted this out. So this is where we're at with lawsuits for Brendan Sorsby. He was sued by Cincinnati over the contract buyout.
Oh yeah, that had nothing to do with the gambling.
No, but he was ruled ineligible then by the NCAA for betting. He then sued the NCAA in court. He won. He then was sued by the Big 12, and then now he's going to potentially sue the NFL. I mean, I'm not surprised that this is the result. Like, you read the letter, and they lay it out very clearly. Like, you did not put anything in this letter about applying for the supplemental draft of acknowledging what you did wrong, like, doing anything. Like, you just said, can I come to the NFL? You did something that was illegal in Indiana and federally.
Yeah.
And you're just trying to pretending like it didn't happen. You think you just get to play in the NFL. And the NFL, like, while this is a somewhat shocking decision, they have punished players in the past. Like, this isn't a new thing for guys to enter the supplemental draft. Terrell Pryor got suspended in the NFL because he sold, you know, jerseys and rings for tattoos, like, when he came into the NFL through supplemental draft. So I don't think that this is a shocking thing overall. I didn't think this was on the table, to be honest. But now he's going to be in the UFL? For a year?
Or just
not play football for a season?
Yeah, I think he'll just go start doing the training and stuff. That is kind of crazy they suspended Pryor. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It was six games.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Now, it does say in the final paragraph of this from the,
what's
the
that?
Thing from the NFL. Oh. What does it look like, Joe?
Well, I only asked for a water. No, that's okay. Thank you, though.
What is that? What do you think it is?
Well, I thought she was just like, here's a beer. I didn't ask for it, but I'm going to drink it anyway.
What a weird way to ask that question.
Thank you.
It's a weird way to ask that question.
Probably right.
I was a little passive-aggressive, actually.
I thought maybe it was Jeremy's.
It was pretty passive-aggressive.
I should have. Yeah. Sorry. I apologize.
Pretty passive-aggressive.
I'm a jerk.
What is this? We know what it is, Joe.
Is it yours and you're setting it down? Is it Jeremy's?
Right.
Is it AJ's?
Those, not AJ's. Those would have been more appropriate questions.
I know.
The passive-aggressiveness. That was very passive-aggressive.
My bad. I apologize.
What is this? You know darn well what it is.
I'm sorry.
I didn't like that. I didn't like that interaction. That gave me the ick. Anyways, in the final paragraph of this this letter to Sorsby, it talks about entry to the NFL. As Commissioner Goodell has emphasized, participation in the NFL is a privilege, blah, 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 blah. By all accounts, you are a talented player. That was nice. With the potential for future success, we encourage you to focus on preparing for possible entry into the NFL through the 27 NFL annual draft. There you go.
Yeah.
Like, he'll be in the draft next year.
Yeah, he's just going to not play football for a season.
Yeah.
And how that affects him is going to be very interesting.
I think it'll hurt his draft stock.
Well, I think the other comparable one to this one is that you go back to Ohio State with Maurice Claret, where he didn't play for a year, right? When he got ruled ineligible, and then He tried to enter the draft, and I think he got told no, from what I remember.
Too young.
He was too young. So then he didn't play football for a year. And then his draft stock was severely affected by it.
Where did he go in the draft? Fourth, fifth round?
I'm guessing so. That sounds right.
He was so good as a freshman.
Oh, he was nasty.
I loved him as a freshman.
Yeah, I like, he's going to play in the NFL.
Third round.
It's just, where does he go now? How late does he go? And I think everything that's brought up in this letter are all fair concerns and questions that NFL teams would have. Are you remorseful? How do we know you're not going to do it again?
I really don't care about remorse. Like, whatever. Like, he didn't kill somebody.
Like, no,
what do
like,
we mean remorseful? He bet on some games. He had a gambling addiction. What is there to be remorseful about? He didn't hurt anybody.
No, but like, if you have to like just acknowledge you made a mistake.
Sure. But like, I mean, why? I mean.
And what the NFL is saying was because he doesn't even talk about it in his letter to try to be in the supplemental draft. He's not even doing that. He's not acknowledging it at all.
I mean, that sounds a little bit hypocritical. Like, the NFL's allowed people who've done violent things to animals, who've done violent things to people.
Oh, for sure.
Who've done violent things to women. And we're going to get all high and moral about a guy who bet? Come on. They're not the same.
No, I totally 100% agree with you. I mean, I'm surprised that this was the decision they made. Because this is an NFL player. I mean, team problem, really, more than it is an NFL problem. If no one wanted to draft him because they didn't trust him, well, then he would just fall and fall and fall in the supplemental draft. The reality is he probably still would have gone in the second or third round.
Probably.
If he was in this thing. And, you know, they are choosing not to let him do that.
Selfishly, I wanted to see him in the supplemental draft just because I wanted to see how high the bids were going to go.
Yeah.
It would have been kind of fun.
It would have been a very interesting offseason story. Like, it would have helped us in July and get us into August.
Yeah. I mean, just like where not really. Not,
but at least for a day.
We're going to go 24-7 Brendan Sorsby?
No. Unless he was a Texan.
Junkie says Kyle Pitts, 3 years, $54 million. I just saw that. I just tweeted about it, too. I think it's way too much money for Kyle Pitts. I think he's so overrated.
Well, that's got to – I'm guessing that puts him at the top here in tight end
largest money? Three-year contract for a tight end in NFL history. Guess who his agent is? David Mulligetta.
Yeah, that guy gets his way, man. He is the third highest paid tight end in the NFL now. It's Kittle, McBride, then Pitts. And then two Baltimore tight ends. Well, one former Baltimore tight end.
That's way too much for Kyle Pitts,
Likely
man.
And Andrews are the top five.
I wouldn't have paid him that.
No, I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't have paid him that. He had like one big game in week, what was it, 17 last year?
Yeah. Yeah, because it knocked me out of the playoffs. So like week 15?
Week 15.
Yeah. Where he had like three touchdowns in the game?
I'm not a Kyle Pitts fan.
No. I mean, and their roster is going to be interesting now. You've got a three-year deal for $54 million for Pitts. 4 years, $141 million for Drake London. And now you have to pay Bijan.
They're going to pay him.
Oh, yeah.
If you're paying Kyle Pitts, you're paying Bijan.
Like, your quarterback needs to get good at some point so you can use those weapons.
It's a good thing they drafted Michael Penix with the eighth pick of the draft?
Yeah.
That was a really smart pick.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Rams drafting Simpson at 13. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's cash them or trash them next. What are you cashing? What are you trashing? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe live from Baker Street Pub in Sugar Land on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's cash 'em.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With Jeremy and Joe.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Cash 'em or trash 'em. Jeremy and Joe, we are live. Baker Street Pub, Sugar Land. Great spot to watch your football. Great spot to watch your World Cup. Great spot for a cold drink. Great spot for good food. Good crowd at hand is here as well. Also, tomorrow, we're going to be at a Tom's Watch Bar on Wednesday. Come hang out with us. The biggest soccer tournament in the world. Also, there's a chance today to win $500 yep. gift certificate to Republic Boot Company. Also do that on Thursday as well. Thanks to Huntington Bank for putting us on all summer long. Appreciate them. All right, cash them or trash them, Joe. What are you cashing? What are you trashing?
Do you have an NHL one?
I don't know.
Okay, good. We're getting that hockey team.
Yeah,
cash or trash
I don't like it. How overconfident you are.
Because if you didn't see the news, you're living under a rock. There's at least discussions happening, reportedly, today with the Board of Governors in hockey about Houston and Austin for one of them being launched in 2028-29 season. I think it's happening.
Yeah. I hate how it's both cities. Maybe it's trying to put pressure on the Houston to get an arena. Because this is not fulfillment. It's like the Toyota supplier guy.
Yeah.
So he would have to lease the arena. So hopefully this is just trying to put pressure on Houston, get an arena situation figured out. I just hate – I don't like celebrating before things are across the finish line.
No, I think it's exciting. It's exciting and disappointing at the same time. Because if they do choose Austin, it's over. That's the end of hockey in Houston.
Probably.
Like, there's no coming back from that. There's not going to be a third team. Like, at least – until like 2040. I also just don't know how much more the NHL can expand.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to add one team, and then a couple years later they'll add another one. So that would put them at 34 or 36 teams?
Plus, you don't want markets that close usually.
Yeah. So you'd have Dallas, Austin, Houston. I think that feels like a stretch.
Yep.
I think a lot of Houston people would be upset in the moment, would probably adapt the Austin team.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Uh-uh. Huh. Nope, I do not. In fact, I tweeted this out earlier. If the NHL chooses Austin over Houston, the NHL's dead to me.
That's why I asked you if you had one, because I thought maybe that was going to be your cash.
Maybe I should have. I should have been able to put those two together. But no, I feel that way. If the NHL chooses Austin over Houston, the NHL is dead to me. Also, you're forgetting how Houston got its football team. Like, this was very similar to, like, the Texans getting the expansion team most recently. No one expected Houston to beat L.A.
Yeah.
Like, whenever these reports were coming out early, it was like, L.A., Houston's the back burner. L.A., we're giving L.A. all of this leeway to figure out their mess. If they don't figure it out, it's going to go to Houston.
Yeah.
L.A., this is yours unless you screw it up. L.A. screwed it up. Bob McNair was there to reap the benefits of it. That's what I'm fearful of. It's like, NHL's like, Houston, you got it figured out.
Yeah.
Here you go. We're giving you the nudge. This is yours. Here you go. Figure it out. And if you don't figure it out, it's going to Austin. That's why I don't celebrate till things are done, Joe.
Okay, so I'll rephrase that.
Okay.
Does the NHL work in Austin, you think? Cash or trash?
I mean, trash.
Yeah, I'm not trash. Sure. Like, I trash it. Like, I don't.
Trash.
I trash it. I mean, they don't have a pro sport team.
Oh, they have an MLS team.
Yeah, like I said.
That does do very well. Austin FC sells out. It looks like an incredible environment. I don't think it works. Like, I don't see it.
It could work? Because there's not another professional team really for it to compete with?
Very possible.
I mean, I think,
kind of like the Vegas model.
I mean, I think there's all Texas, though. Like, it's Texas. We love Texas. We love the Longhorns. I don't see it competing. And also, like, soccer's a different beast than the NHL. Soccer's a once-a-week thing. NHL's, like, every other day.
Yeah.
You know? I don't see it being – I mean, I don't know. Austin's growing so big. But, like, will they support hockey in Austin? I don't know.
Yeah, like, the reason why Vegas works is because, one, the expansion rules were super generous. They've been to, like, the Stanley Cup or the conference finals, like, three times since they've been born as a team, which is absurd. And they're a major travel destination. So everyone in Boston, the one time you go to Vegas, is going to go, okay, we're going to go watch the Bruins in Vegas. No one's saying, I'm going to go watch the Bruins in Austin. Like, that's not a thing. It's like, I don't think it works. I'm still not totally convinced it works here, to be honest. But
I definitely
don't think it works in Austin.
It's dead to me if they choose Austin over Houston. It's dead to me. Who's joining me on that? 713-780-3776. Who's joining me in the campaign that the NHL is dead to us if they select Austin over Houston? All right. I like PGA's new two-track model that they released today, Joe. They're going to have a championship tour.
They are.
And they're going to have a contenders tour.
Okay.
But I think that the championship series should not have eliminated sponsorship exemptions. They were getting 8 exemptions. If it was a signature event, they were getting 4. The new two-track model, they're getting rid of all of them. I think that they should have kept at least 1, maybe even 2. I don't like how they've eliminated sponsorship exemptions entirely for the championship series.
Hey, Brian, do you know what that means?
No, I was lost.
Okay, I don't either. What does
that
mean?
How do y'all not know what that means?
I'm sorry, I don't know what that means.
You don't know what sponsorship exemptions are?
Sorry.
The sponsor of the tournament can say, hey, Joe George, we want you in our tournament. You can come play in our tournament.
Trash.
Why would you trash that?
What trash. Is it? Because they can't invite Tiger to play?
Well, Tiger's got an exemption because he's won so much.
Yeah.
But no, like popular golfers that maybe don't have status, or perhaps it's a young up-and-comer that they really like,
yeah,
or if it's somebody who's charitable to their corporation.
Yeah, but if you're doing relegation, then I feel like you got to do it.
They've always done relegation. I saw so many tweets. Oh, I love the promotion. Blah, blah, blah. You haven't been paying attention to golf if you don't realize it's been going on for centuries.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I guess because I don't know. That feels weak to me. Like, it's a participation trophy. That you're like, sponsorship exemption? Eh. That doesn't really do anything for me. It's so trash.
I can't believe that you, that lives in a world of sponsorship, would trash this. Brian?
Yeah, trash it. I'm gonna have Joe's back here.
You guys are losers. What's yours, Brian?
I think CMC is being drafted way too high in fantasy. We obviously know he's now on the wrong side of the
fantasy
age 30.
Nerd.
The age cliff at age 30. But, I hate when these older running backs especially have these huge workload seasons, and then it feels very, very predictable they'll drop off. I said the same thing last year with Saquon. This year, Christian McCaffrey, career high in touches, over 400 a career high in carries, over 400 total touches. I think he's being drafted way too high at running back four.
Running back four?
Yeah, I think there's eight running backs I would take before McCaffrey.
Eight? I can name nine. No, give me those. Who are those eight?
Gibbs, Bijan, Jonathan Taylor, Jenty, James Cook, Saquon, and Devon Achane.
What about Amari and Hampton?
No.
Yeah, I would take Hampton in front of him.
I wouldn't take Hampton.
You're out on C-Mac, huh?
Yeah, see, I would take Hampton over Jenty.
C-Mac had 413 touches last year.
It's way too much.
Okay, so I'm going to...
Why don't you have the same opinion about Jonathan Taylor, just FYI?
Did he have over 400 touches?
Or BTW, wrong acronym. He had 323 carries, 46 catches. He flirted with it.
That's true. Obviously there's a little bit of an age difference there, plus Christian McCaffrey's injury history scares me. But I didn't realize
it was sidebar. I wasn't trying to argue. It was just sidebar.
No, I didn't know Jonathan Taylor's was that high. So that is a little concerning, but he's younger, doesn't have the injury history of McCaffrey, so I'm not as concerned.
Would you go Taylor RB3 still?
Yeah, Taylor's my RB3. Maybe Cook. I could convince for Cook.
More than Jenty?
Yeah. Jenty.
My only concern with Cook is is he going to not be the touchdown vulture?
True.
That he's been, because that's been his bread and butter for fantasy points. I'm going to cash it, but more just based on the fact that I don't trust Christian McCaffrey to stay healthy 2 years in a row.
Yeah, I like the take. I really do. I cash it as well. He had 102 catches last year.
That's crazy.
He's so good. Yeah, but you almost have to draft him there just in case he doesn't. You know what I mean?
You do. It's just one of those where you pick him. If you pick him at four or whatever ends up being.
His ADP is 7.2, but RB4.
Like, whenever you take him, you basically know, like your entire season is up in the air. You're either going to have a chance to be in a championship game, because you might have the best running back in the NFL fantasy-wise, or he might get hurt in week two and miss the entire season, and your season's over because you wasted a first-round pick.
I think it's one of those where if you're a volume drafter like I am, I think you just have to take them.
I agree.
But if you're like in one or two leagues, or you have a big money league, that's one where you would fade them.
Yeah.
I cashed it. I agree with Brian's take. I just don't think that you can entirely fade him if you're a volume drafter, just in case he does not
a redraft normal fantasy league when we get there, assuming he's healthy at that point. At the end of August, if you have the fifth, like the sixth or seventh pick, you still kind of have to take him. Like, I'm guessing he'll go seventh in most drafts. Is where you said where he's going right now?
He's going 7.2.
So who's going in front of him then? Mostly like JSN.
Gibbs. He named it. Oh, total.
Yeah,
it's Gibbs, Bijan, Jamar Chase, Puka, JSN, Taylor, and then McCaffrey.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So, like, if you're in that pick range, like, you have to take him, even though might just be hurt.
Unless it's, like, one of your top leagues in a big money league, and you're like, well, I'm going to fade him because I have this take, which I think is a valid take.
I really do, for sure.
I think BMAC was all over Saquon last year, too, memory serves. Mm-hmm. And he was on the right side of history on that one, for sure. Which I think that Saquon maybe took too big of a drip. Like, I kind of like where he's at. Like, I like him at RB7.
Yeah, I think it's going the other way with Saquon, for sure.
Like that's a spot where I'm easily clicking Saquon when he's on the, you know, the best available.
Especially no A.J. Brown. Your new, Malachi Lemon's already hurt.
He's like, hurt?
Yeah.
What's wrong with the guy?
I think
he's a lemon?
Dad joke of the day. Jeremy won.
What happened to him, though, for real?
I think it was a hamstring. I don't know.
So he pulled a Pena. That's what he did.
Probably.
How about this one from George Kittle? World Cup proves NFL could play on grass if owners gave a bad word.
Cash.
Yeah, it's obviously cash.
These guys get hurt all the time, and like they're rolling out the grass for these soccer players. I think it's insane.
Yeah, it's very
and they won't
cash.
Do it for NFL players.
That's so on the money.
Yeah.
he's never been more right about
it's
something.
It's crazy.
How about this one? College baseball ended yesterday. Tip to cap to Oklahoma for winning the national championship. Ben Upton, who's a college baseball guy, he says that if this comes to fruition about the Major League Baseball draft proposal, where they get rid of high school drafts and they limit the rounds, he says, if this comes to fruition, I fully expect college baseball to eventually become bigger than college basketball.
Trash.
Yeah, trash.
I would love it to be for people that you that love it. It's just not big. It's never going to be big enough in the cold weather states. It's just not.
No, I love college baseball. I do think it would help college baseball, this proposal by Major League Baseball. It won't be bigger than college basketball. Love them both, though.
Do you like the proposal?
Love them both. Not really.
Because I think it's owners being cheap.
Yeah.
It's good for college baseball, but it's just college baseball is now the minor leagues.
Which I'm cool with. I wonder, though, because this is what you do at the beginning of negotiations. You just drop all these big ass.
Yeah.
And then you're like, try to find the middle on all of them. Or maybe that you surrender with one of them, but you keep the other. I wonder if they're just dropping, like, the salary cap and this as a way to get one of them across. Because if you're the Major League Baseball players, you'd be like, okay, fine, do what you want with the draft, but no salary cap.
Yeah.
So, like, this is where these whole negotiations publicly, like, usually mean nothing.
Like, RIP A-ball.
No, I think it would still exist.
You think it would?
Yeah, it just
maybe not. I don't think right away, but like I wonder, like over time, like does it just fade?
I have such a hard time talking about these hypothetical situations that are 99% chance not to happen.
Yeah, but this one I think is more likely because it doesn't affect the players.
I think that they could surrender this for no salary cap.
Yeah,
cash or trash. This is Alpi's last offseason with high trade value, at least as a Rocket.
Cash it.
I trash it. I still think you'll have trade value.
Trash.
Ocho, cash or trash? Christian Walker's hard start to the season was an aberration.
I'm going to say trash. I think he turns it back.
Trash.
I'm going to say mostly aberration. Junkie says NHL would be dead. Another junkie says I'd adopt an Austin team as my number one NHL team. Not me. I think an NHL team in Austin actually is a better fit than Houston because of the reason they don't have a major sports team other than MLS team. I'm with you, J-Bone. NHL is dead to me. I predict Ashton Jeanty, 2,600 yards. Oof. That's a big prediction.
And breaks LT's touchdown record. Is that what that text just said?
Yeah. I didn't even want to do that last one justice. I didn't want to read it. Every running back is a favorite to get hurt. Yeah, but some are more prone than others.
Gibbs and Bijan are largely healthy.
Oh, is that ball gone? It sure is. All right, 713-780-3776. What NFL cash attractions do you have? We'll discuss that. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe live from Baker Street Pub on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.